It's the Food Talk Show, produced by Channel Radio. It's the Food Talk Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Christy Ellis. Hello, Christy. How are you?
Hello, Paul. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. We've got a packed show for you today, and we've got some lovely guests, both in the studio and on the telephone. So we're really looking forward to the show today.
We are indeed. Shall I tell you who they are?
Yeah, go on then.
It would be helpful, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would help if we knew who was here, wouldn't it?
Okay, so we've got Natalie from Treat Out, who will be telling us all about her amazing app, which allows people to find restaurants in the area that they're in, that they know will be able to cater for any of their dietary needs. We also have Helena Rogers, who's from True Granola, which is a family-run business based in Folkestone, so just around the corner, who have developed the world's first fresh granola toasting kit. And on the phone, we have Juliet Kello from Seafish, who's a registered dietitian, and she's talking about the benefits and the importance of eating seafood, because I don't know if you know this, Paul, but this week is Seafood Week.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that until you told me, and you also told me something else.
Oh, about the puns.
Yeah.
So,
what is it tomorrow?
So tomorrow it's Fish Pun Day. Hashtag Fish Pun Day.
It Fish Pun Day.
Yeah. So think about some puns.
But like dab it behind your ears, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
That's a groany one.
Is that a wet place you've got there? Yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah. You don't have to be a brain sturgeon to get involved.
Is that? Oh, well, that's lucky, isn't it? What are you trying to say there, Chrissy? Thank you. I'll tell you a story though. It's not quite a pun, but it caused a bit of controversy. I live in the beautiful town of Tenston. And in St. Michael's, which is on the outskirts of Tenston, there's a fish and chip shop. And Dell, who's the guy that runs the local grocery store, took over the fish and chip shop, which he then renamed Dell's Fish and Chips. But he put up this huge sign, a big canvas sign on the front, and it said, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was cod." Oh. And everybody went, "Oh, really?" But loads of people complained. They complained he had to take the sign down.
Taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, and all that, yeah. But I thought that was quite punny.
It is, yeah. Something a bit different, isn't it?
Absolutely.
How often do you go to that shop, Paul?
What, fish and chip shop? What, a day?
Yeah.
How often a day? Is that what you want to know? Actually, my favourite place is the kebab van by the toilets in the car park.
Yeah. We know. You talk about that regularly.
It's great. I'm regular. I like a kebab. I just do. It's one of those things.
Nice.
So, as you say, we've got lots to talk about. We've got some lovely guests to speak to. Sue's away this week. I'm not sure where Sue is.
Oh, she's speaking at an event today.
Is she?
And next week, we're really busy as well. So she's not here next week. So you've got the lovely Brady next week.
Yeah, I've got Brady next week.
Yeah.
I'm lucky, aren't I? I've got loads of different co-presenters. Exactly.
That's what you've got, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's nice, isn't it?
It is.
Cool. So Sue's away doing a talk somewhere. You know, one of the things is we've been going a little while now with the Food Talk Show. And things are going really well, and we're getting loads and loads of people interact with us. But one of the things we'd like out there, if you're listening to the show and we haven't heard from you, we'd love to hear from you.
We would.
Yeah, you can tweet us or you can email us or do whatever you want to do to get in contact, especially if you're in food technology.
Yes, definitely, if you're in food tech. We're
definitely
really
if you're in food tech, we really want to know you.
Yes.
Yeah, really, really want to know you.
Get in touch.
Absolutely. So we'd love to hear from you. It would be really good to hear from you if you're in food tech. Or, you know, we don't mind hearing from anyone, obviously, but food tech especially, because it's one of those things that we're kind of exploring more and more, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've been round and about in the last few weeks doing lots of different trade shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, we've taken the show on the road.
Mm. Pop-up radio stations all over the place. And we met some interesting people and we've seen some interesting technology. My favourite was the Just Eat people.
Actually Just Eat?
Yeah, I quite like Just Eating. But what I really liked was their dog.
Oh, the robot.
They got a robot dog for doing deliveries.
Yeah, brilliant, wasn't
How
it?
How cool is that?
They're trialing, really cool. They have to stay ahead of the game, don't they? So they're trying loads of different, like new robot technology and things like
drones.
Amazon. Yeah.
So there's actually lots of things happening in food technology. For me, that just boils down to having a little, what do you call it, spiralizer thing.
That's the limit of your technology, is it?
Yeah, it is. I bought a spiralizer and I now spiralize everything. Absolutely everything. Have you ever had spiralized bacon and egg breakfast?
No. And
it works.
Don't fancy it. I won't be coming to your breakfast anytime soon.
I'll just spiralize it because I've got a spiralizer, basically. Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Oh, I just don't know what to say.
No. Are you stunned?
Stunned. I'll tell you what,
and you're bored?
Appalled.
Oh, appalled. And bored. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what we do. I'm gonna put everyone on the spot and I want a fish pun.
Oh, no.
Everybody's looking at me.
Like, literally want to cry right now. Oh, I have can't think of any. How about you girls?
You gotta be joking.
Ah.
That's quite good. It's better than I can come up with.
Come on then, what have you got?
I've got nothing right now, but I'm leave it with
Don't
me.
Tell him, Pike. Don't tell him.
God, I feel bad.
End of the day?
End of the show, I will have a fish pun of some kind. I keep thinking of salmon, and what do you do with salmon?
Salmon, yeah.
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah. It's really funny, isn't it? Because fish actually is one of the easiest things to pun because there's just so many of them. But when you're put on the spot with something like that, your mind goes blank, doesn't it? You just can't come up with anything, you know.
Twitter, help us.
Yeah.
Mackerel.
I've got to just Google it or something.
Yeah. Tweet us a fish pun.
Please
We
do.
Need a fish pun. Tweet us a fish pun. Do you know what I think we'll do, though? I think talking about fish and talking about... Was it National Fish Week, you said, Christy?
I think it's just Seafood Week.
Seafood Week.
Yeah.
So we mustn't touch salmon then or anything like that.
Really bad.
Yeah, we're not... Or trout.
Oh, what about this? Not bad. Cod do better.
Dear.
Batter. Cod batter. Do batter.
Yeah. Oh, very good. Very
building
good.
On it. Building
yeah,
on it.
It's getting there. Yeah, we're on a roll now.
Oh, do you need more time to mull it over?
Oh, get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Google, I love you. Yeah. Any more?
Can we take any more of that?
I don't know.
They're pretty bad, aren't they?
This is how bad it is. I want the cheesy tune.
Are you squidding?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
I think we'll stop the punning now and I'll play a tuner. Okay. Hey, let's have some cheesy tuning, shall we?
Let's.
In support of National Seafood Week. Have a listen to this. It's the Water Boys, Fisherman's Blues. I wish I was a Welcome back to the Food Talk Show. That was the Waterboys with Fisherman's Blues. Very cheesy, wasn't it?
It was.
Anyway, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Juliette Kello, who we've got on the phone. Hello, Juliette. How are you?
Hello. I'm really good, thank you.
Cool. And now, if I'm right looking at your phone number, you're hanging around somewhere in Cornwall by the looks of it.
I am. That's really impressive. Yes. No, I'm based down in Cornwall and a perfect place to be for seafood.
I got it. The perfect place.
What a link.
She started with a pun. She started with a seafood pun. Nice one. Thanks, Juliette. You saved us there. We were scrabbling around for seafood puns. You do know it's Fish Pun Day tomorrow, don't you?
I think actually Fish Pun Day was last Friday.
Oh, was it?
It's the start of Seafood Week. So, yeah.
So we missed it.
It's been absolutely brill.
Oh, well, that's why we couldn't think of anything.
That must have been what it was.
That'll be what it was.
Sorry.
So whereabouts in Cornwall are you, Juliette?
I'm actually in St Austell, which is on the south coast.
Yep, I know.
Close to lots of really great kind of fishing places. So we've obviously got Newlyn further down the coast, which is one of the most kind of well-known ones. But lots of, you know, Mervagissey, they have fish. You know, it's great. You can just walk down to the local harbour and buy mackerel kind of at the right time of year. Just kind of, you know, take it home, cook it up.
Yeah.
And a couple of hours. My little boy loves fishing, and the very first time he went, they came back after half an hour, and I thought, oh, that must have been really boring. And they got something like 37 mackerel.
Wow. What did you do with all of those?
They were literally jumping on the line, I think. Well, fortunately, my father-in-law's a chef, so he filleted them all and cooked some of them up and froze the rest. So yeah, perfect.
Yum.
Fabulous. I'm a big fan. I lived in Cornwall for a while.
Oh, did you? Whereabouts?
I lived in a little hamlet called Tredrizzick. Which is between St Minver and Rock on the North Cornwall coast.
Okay, yeah, it's up near Padstow Way.
It is opposite, it's on the Camel Estuary opposite Padstow, yeah.
Lovely.
And just along the coast from us was Port Isaac. And,
yeah.
And the fishing boats there used to deliver fresh John Dory on a daily basis, which was fabulous, yeah.
Very nice.
And so they've got the lovely Nathan Outlaw restaurant up that way as well.
Absolutely.
I think they've got one at Port Isaac and also one at Rock, haven't they?
They have indeed.
Great for seafood.
Yep.
So can you tell us a little bit about Seafood Week and what's been going on?
Yeah, sure. So it's actually 8 days, which is a bit of a cheat calling it a week. But today and tomorrow's the last day, and it's really kind of like a campaign which is aimed at helping people to enjoy more seafood, and if they do enjoy seafood, to have, to put a bit more variety into their diet. So we know from a health point of view, health experts say we should be having two portions a week, one of which is as an oil-rich fish, so something like sardines, mackerel, trout, herring, that kind of thing. But aside from the nutritional benefits, which we can give you a bit more information in a moment, it's a great food. It tastes delicious. It's part of our heritage. You know, if you think of a lot of the kind of like meals that go back to, years and years and years, things like fish and chips, for example, things even like back in Victorian days, jellied eels. You know, fish has played a very, very important part in our diets, and that's partly because we are a small island at the end of the day and surrounded by sea. So it's really kind of designed to kind of like help you have a look at, you know, what you can try, some new recipes, what's on in your local area, what's going on in restaurants, supermarkets, etc.
Absolutely, and you're right. And for me, I'm knocking on a bit now. I'm getting old, but when I was a kid, I wasn't that keen. You know, fish fingers were fine, and battered cod, and that was about it, really. But as I've got older, I've developed a taste for seafood and fish, and I eat a lot of it now. I had lobsters on Sunday, actually.
Lobsters, yeah, you would, lobster, wouldn't you? Yeah, it would be you. Lobsters. Yeah, well, I had cockles.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah, you can get treatment for that now. But you're absolutely right, Juliet. There's so many different varieties of fish now that are available, and so many things you can do, and so many ways you can consume it. You know, I always have things like mackerel pate or stuff like that.
Lovely strong flavour, isn't it, mackerel?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually available in the UK. There's more than 100 varieties of fish fish available. So you could actually be getting your two a week from a completely different source for the whole year. So, you know, we tend to stick to the same ones. So, you know, we have things like cod, which is a favourite, and things like salmon, which is also up there. Not a sea fish, but still kind of, you know, we eat a lot of it. And there's just such a great variety. And one of the things I've done recently with my nutrition head on was put together a top 10 list of kind of like superfish. So taking that whole angle of superfoods. And actually the one which, if you want an absolute brilliant nutrition hit, you can't go wrong with crab, actually.
Right. Okay.
And it's not one of the sort of like the fish that we have often in our diet. But actually now, if you go into your supermarket, you can usually buy fresh crab meat from the fish counter. And obviously canned crab is also a good option. That's generally kind of like a little less messy for people. But you can buy prepared fresh crab. And it's just absolutely packed with nutrients. So like all fish, it's a really good source of protein, which we need for strong muscles.
Absolutely. And also, and this is really sad that I know this, it's actually very low calorie as well.
What, crab?
Crab.
Yeah, loads of fish is, isn't it?
Yeah,
but crab especially is very low calorie. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, whitefish and shellfish are all really, really quite low in calories. The oily fish tend to be higher because they've got a higher fat content, but of course that's the heart-healthy omega-3 fats that they contain, the ones which we know are linked to helping to improve our blood pressure, helping to reduce some of the kind of like fat in our, the blood fats which we don't want, and also they've been linked to healthy eyes and healthy brains. So
brilliant.
You know, you want to get those in your diet, you don't want to avoid them.
Sure.
Juliet, do you think that the preparation puts people off eating fish?
Yes, I mean, there's kind of like lots of different work that's been done looking at why we don't eat fish, and one of the things people are worried about, the prep. They're worried about the smell when they're cooking. They're worried about bones in particular. And I think that's one of the reasons why we tend to kind of stick to fish fingers for our children, because we know, or fish cakes, we know that there's not going to be any bones in there.
Yeah.
But times have changed now, and you can buy fish which, you know, you can guarantee it's not going to have any bones in. If you've got it filleted by your fishmonger, for example, or if you've bought it from the supermarket and you've bought something without kind of which has been properly filleted for you. And of course, if you are worried about bones, then, you know, starting off with some of the shellfish is actually a great option. So things like prawns, for example, crabs to some extent, even things like mussels. You can now buy big bags of mussels in the freezer section, which have got no shells on, and they're just literally the mussel meat. So, you know, you're not going to get any bones without tuna, is another example, fresh or canned tuna. So prep is an issue. So it's about case of kind of getting adventurous and looking for kind of those things which meet your criteria, be it kind of, we don't want bones, we don't want anything that smells too much, we don't want anything that needs preparation.
Sounds like the lineup of presenters on this show. They don't smell and they got no brains.
Bones.
And they're all floppy, you know, boneless.
Bones.
Yep, that's done it. You've cracked it there, Juliet. We're kind of running a bit behind time a little bit, Juliet. I want to find out what all 10 of these superfish are. So if we could kind of run through them quickly. So we Yeah,
crab, number one.
Yep.
And that's because it's just packed with absolutely everything. Mm. So we know that there's kind of like the brown meat's got calcium and iron in it, which we need for good health. It's got things like really rich in copper, which is important for our immunity. And it's got just got loads of selenium, which is an antioxidant. So it helps to keep the cells healthy and protect them from damage.
Fantastic.
Number two and three on the list, sardines and mackerel. So those are the oil-rich fish, and they're particularly both rich in vitamin D. And vitamin D is important for healthy bones, and it's the nutrient that we make from sunlight. So at this time of year when we're not getting much sun or the sun's rays aren't very strong, we need to make sure we're getting enough in our diet, and oil-rich fish is one of the best sources.
Fantastic.
Number four, mussels. So we mentioned those briefly. Again, very, very good source of zinc, which we need for immunity and fertility, and selenium, that lovely antioxidant. Number five, something you perhaps only had one when you're on holiday in a hotel for breakfast, but herrings are up there. A very good example of trying kind of a food which is nutritious and relatively inexpensive. You know, we find that herring is really inexpensive these days.
I love a roll mop,
mate. So do I.
I love a roll mop.
Yeah, exactly. Number six is langoustine. So these are actually very similar. They're related to...
I like this lady. I really like this lady. I'm going to visit her.
You can cook for her.
Yeah. And actually, it's the tails of langoustines that are used to make scampi.
Right.
So that's another really useful kind of like nutrition food. And they're great for adding to things like curries and paellas or having them with salads. Mm. And then we get into some of the kind of like more of the white fish. Number seven is plaice. Number eight is haddock. Number nine is coley. These foods are particularly the white fish are very rich in iodine, which we need for a healthy metabolism. Again, packed with selenium, and also they usually provide a wide range of the B vitamins. And as we mentioned before, they're very low in fat, so therefore they're very low in calories. So great if you're trying to maintain your weight. And then number 10 is sea bass.
I was hoping, I was going, where's the bass? Where's the sea bass?
Yeah, sea bass comes under the classification of a white fish, but it actually contains pretty good amounts of omega-3. And I think what we need to remember is that all fish is a good source of these heart-friendly omega-3 fats. It's the oil-rich fish which excel, but all fish contain some, including the shellfish, but particularly sea bass as a white fish. And it's also a rich source of a vitamin called vitamin B1, which tends not to be found in many other fish. That's needed to help release energy from the food that we eat. So a really, really good choice there with my top 10.
Fantastic.
Brilliant.
And that was really brilliant. I'm hungry now.
And it was nice and quick as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm hungry. I want to go and eat some fish now.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, if you want a really, really simple dinner and you're going to be heading towards the supermarket, one of my favourites, which I quite often serve up, is a prawn and avocado tostada. And it sounds really posh, but it isn't. I can promise you that. And it's literally, if you take tortilla wraps, and you can either have them on their own just warmed up, or you can brush them with a bit of oil, pop them under the grill until they're kind of nice and crispy. And then you just spread with a mixture of the brown crab meat. If you mix that with a little bit of lime and lemon zest or juice, for example, spread that over. Spread over some mashed avocado. Again, you can mix that with some lime juice and a bit of chili sauce if you want. And then just top it with the white crab meat, bit of salad if you want, handful of kind of mixed leaves, rocket watercress.
Whatever. I'm dribbling here.
A few slices of red onion, wrap it up, and just enjoy. So it's a really nice, simple one. And I would say if you want more recipes or to see what's going on for the final day of Seafood Week, if you go to fishisthedish.co.uk, you'll find loads and loads of different
recipes there. Good. So give us that website again.
It's fishisthedish.co.uk.
Fishisthedish.co.uk.
Fishisthedish.
Okay, brilliant.
Fantastic.
We'll pop that recipe on our website as well.
Juliette, thank you so much for joining us on the Food Talk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Give my regards to Cornwall.
I will do.
And we're going to be eating lots of fish. But for the moment, Juliette Callow, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Juliette.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, I'm hungry.
So am I. I really want that crab and avocado. Oh.
I did quite like crab as well, actually. Yeah. And lobster. She never mentioned lobster. I had lobster on Sunday.
No, lobster's a bit posh, isn't it?
Nah, not anymore. Do you know, very quickly, because I know we're running out of time.
Yeah.
I used to live in Connecticut in the US on the East Coast, and I was reading some history books. And when in the late 18th, early 19th century, prisoners rioted in Boston Jail because all they ever got to eat was lobster.
Poor things.
Yeah. Because, of course, the lobster pots around those minions on, and they treated them as rubbish food. And they only gave them to prisoners.
Yeah. East London, they used to eat, years ago, oysters all the time and got sick of them. It was like a really poor food, wasn't it?
It's like living in Whitstable, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Cool. So that was Juliette Kello on National Seafood Week.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Very good.
I think we'll talk to another guest now.
I think we should. Natalie, you're up.
Hello.
Hello, Natalie. We're joined by the lovely Natalie. Natalie has developed an app, is in the process of developing an app, and the app, as I understand it, and you can slap me if I've got this wrong, it helps you determine what's in the food that you're eating, especially if you have allergies or even if you just dislike certain things.
That's it.
So tell us a little bit about Natalie, tell us a bit about you, and then what led you to developing this app, and then tell us about the app.
Okay, well, about 4 years ago, I was quite ill, and it was very difficult for me to function, really. I had headaches, migraines, muscle spasms, and the doctors didn't know what was wrong with me.
Psychological, they said.
They did. They thought I was just a bit mad and crazy.
No, how could they do that?
I know, not very nice.
No,
it's but
not nice.
I thought there was something seriously wrong. Mm. But I've got an underlying genetic condition, and a specialist told me to go on to a FODMAP diet to help with the IBS symptoms that I had.
Right.
And basically, it's an elimination diet, so I had to go through a strict 6 week period.
So you leave things out and see if you feel better.
Yeah.
And then you eat them again and see if you feel worse.
And then you slowly reintroduce food one at a time, work out what works for you.
Yep.
So I've now got a whole stack of different foods that I avoid. But by doing that, I can function normally. I don't need any medication and I'm fine and I'm back to being me.
Right.
So,
which is lovely.
It is.
Like a lot of things, a lot of people develop stuff because it suits them or their children or their family and friends, and so it's not surprising that you look to do what you do. You mentioned something to me off air in passing, and I kind of ignored it, but I kind of thought, oh, hold on a minute. I won't mention that. I'm sure you said to me that you just finished learning how to code.
I did, yeah.
So in order to do this, you've taught yourself to code so that you can write the app.
I've fixed my stomach, but the problem I've got now is I can't eat out because it's too difficult to know what's on the menu.
Sure.
And it's quite isolating then because we all celebrate with food. We go out, we enjoy it with our friends and family.
Yep.
And when you've got these issues, that becomes really hard.
Yeah.
And there's got to be a better way. And I thought, well, because I've got a background with doing web design, I thought I'd use that to fix this problem because there's got to be a solution. So, I've just finished a 9-week coding boot camp with LeWagon to get this built. And we've built the MVP and took it to the Restaurant Tech Live show a couple of weeks ago.
Fantastic. So for those of you that don't understand Geek Talk, that's a minimum viable product.
It is.
So basically you've got something that works, that needs developing and growing, but the basics of it are there and it's kind of operational. Just very quickly, tell us how one would use the app when it's fully live and fully up and running and what you'd do with it.
So how it will work is a diner will be able to set up their own personal food profile and they can list any ingredient that they're avoiding for whatever reason. So it takes it outside of the scope of the allergens. So, for example, it could be mushrooms, it could be tomatoes or cashew nuts, something like that.
I mean, and you could even just do, well, I don't like bacon, for instance. There's nothing wrong with it. I just don't like it, say, and put that in.
Yeah, so you can build your food profile.
Anchovies. I don't like anchovies. I was trying to think of something I didn't like. I like everything, but I don't like anchovies. Yeah.
And then when you go and have a look at a menu for a restaurant, you can actually filter the menu listing.
Right.
And just see the dishes that match your food profile.
Right.
So there's no more of this having to negotiate with the waiting staff and take 2-3 times as long as everybody else, hold up your whole table while you're trying to find out what you can actually eat. You can go there, you can sit down, you can just be like everybody else and know what you can have.
I know that nowadays that things like gluten are listed anyway on products, but my mum's gluten intolerant. And I do a business show, and my co-presenter, Jules, who is a complete nutcase, she's also gluten intolerant, and she makes up for that by eating and drinking everything else. But
let's hope she's not listening.
No, she is listening. She's listening. She's a 6 bottle of Prosecco a day lady, and that's just breakfast. Okay. But we go to restaurants to eat, and she, a couple of years ago, it's not so bad now, and she'd say, oh, well, I'm gluten intolerant. So they bring like rice cakes or something, and that was it. Yum. You know, and it's just a nonsense, isn't it?
That's the problem, and I've lost count of the number of times I've been given a plate of beige instead, and they just strip everything away because it's like they just panic. Yeah. Doesn't matter whether you say allergen or intolerance, there's no differentiation between the two.
Don't die in our restaurant.
And you just get... Plain rice and plain dry chicken and some of these things you wouldn't even cook it for yourself at home, let alone pay out in a restaurant for that.
So you don't like that then?
Recipes. Really. No.
So Natalie, how will it work? Will the restaurants upload their menus and then the code will decipher, you know, look for the ingredient that you don't want to have in there and eliminate it from the menu? Is that how it works?
It does a match, so it will find what ingredients are in a dish that match the foods you've said you're avoiding, and then it will remove those dishes off the menu for you.
So could you potentially go to, say you're going to a restaurant, could you potentially put in your allergens, and some people have quite a few, or intolerances, and have nothing on the menu?
That could be the case, really? Unfortunately.
Which for the restaurant is going to be really bad news, isn't it? So they're going to have to put something on there.
It is. But hopefully this will help
identify it,
and they'll be more aware of what people are actually doing and what their needs are. So.
Yeah, and is there nothing like it? Is that why you've had to go and learn how to code?
There is nothing and like do it yourself it at all out there. So. Yeah,
brilliant.
And there has to be a better way.
So you're in the process of developing that. You're learning as you're learning to code as you go along.
Yep.
Which I'm so full of admiration for this. It's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
It really is.
Like the passion that you need to have and it's conviction.
Absolutely. And I operate as an angel investor, and I've invested in startup businesses. And one of the issues that you see with people is they get an idea to do something, but they just don't make it happen. Do you know what I mean?
It's just
a great idea. But when you ask them to actually implement it, it doesn't really get very far. And if you give them money as well, they tend to buy themselves a big desk and a big Mac computer, and then go, "Oh, I forgot to say."
I feel the part now.
Yeah. But I'm loving what you're doing, and you're developing the app as you're going along, and then presumably you're going to build partnerships with restaurants and food outlets.
Yeah, we've already got restaurants and getting in touch with us now, ready to go on as soon as we're ready to put them on there.
So. And how are people going to find... So when the app's built and all developed and looking lovely and all the information's on it, how are people going to find out about it? Are you going to market it through word of mouth, or is it going to go on social media? How are they going to find out?
Well, we've already got a lot of media interest in what we're doing anyway because of my health story as well.
Because I do believe that you're up for some awards.
We've just found out this week that we're up for 2 awards at the Appsters, so most innovative app and the most influential startup. So we find out next week.
Well,
how
done.
We've
fantastic
done with
that. What a brilliant accolade that is.
We're very happy with that.
That'll be great, so you should be. Yeah.
Because you don't want to get grumpy about it, do
no
you? No, absolutely. So if we want, can we download the app now? Is it ready to download yet?
It's not ready yet. It's a closed beta. So we're testing. We're working with a handful of diners and a small select group of restaurants to get this working exactly how we need it to be.
Right.
And then we will start rolling it out. Probably start off in our local town, first of all, to make sure we've got this 100% right. Because we want this to be the solution that people need it to be.
Absolutely. Do you know what it's going to be called? So that when it's ready, people can start looking for it.
Well, they can already go to our website anyway at the moment, which is treatout.com. Right. And if they want to register their interest now and let us know, keep in touch, have updates, then by all means they can sign up with us there.
So that's treatout.com. treatout.com.
That's it.
I like that. Did you see what they did there? Treatout. That's really clever, isn't it? That's top that's top punning, that is. Treatout.
I'm good at the puns.
Yeah, treatout.com. I love it. Natalie, thank you so much for joining us on the Food Talk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure. You're so passionate and enthusiastic about what you're doing. It's going to be a massive success. You're already winning awards and you're still learning how to code.
Bloody. Yeah, that is absolutely
that is
isn't
amazing,
it?
Isn't it?
Good luck with it all.
Yeah, Natalie, thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Cool. You're going to stay around though, aren't you? Because we've got a bit of tasting,
yeah,
I think,
and I
next.
Heard there might be something that I might
be
able
something
to
eat around
well.
Here.
Oh, do you my know? Goodness.
Might have honey in it. Oh, sorry.
Oh. You can just smell it, maybe.
Well, do you know, what? The trouble is, the reason that I'm overweight, yeah, is because of this show. That's the reason.
You cannot blame this show on
They make me eat stuff. They make me eat loads of stuff. But normally when Sue's here, they also drink loads of stuff. And that's really lucky because I'm teetotal, so they have to drink all my alcohol as well.
Really lucky for us. Yeah, yeah. I love it.
But there's none here today, is there?
No.
I noticed. I did notice
having
that.
Having a dry Thursday.
Yeah. There you go. Doesn't affect
so
me.
So we've got Helena. Hello, Helena.
Hello.
And you're from True Granola.
I'm from True Granola, that's right.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about True Granola, how it started?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have one of those, you know, you were saying earlier about things that start because of your family. Well, yeah. My son is a real fussy eater. You know, he could totally live. Well, he had a dream the other day, and this is absolute truth. He woke up and said, I had the most amazing dream that I went into the garden and sausages grew on trees.
Do they not?
Well, is he related to you, Paul? Yeah.
Sausage and pasta trees would be his dream world.
If you could do that, I would invest in that. Yeah, I would invest in that big time. That.
Sadly, that's not what True Granola is about. But that's the kind of like context that I have for trying to feed my son. Mm. So we went to a festival last year and granola was being handed out. And lo and behold, he had some and he liked it. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know, he's eating nuts and pumpkin seeds and oats and stuff. Right. You know, that's not like even got any chocolate in it. And that's quite, if I could have him eating that for breakfast, what a great start to the day it would be.
Sure.
So got home, went to the supermarket, started looking at some of the brands. And I was just could not believe the amount of sugar that was in it.
Yeah.
It was just, and in fact, there's been quite a lot of news about this recently.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's like a wolf in sheep's clothing, you know? It's kind of real.
Looks
bit of a con.
Ever so healthy, doesn't it?
Doesn't it look healthy? Yeah. And you kind of want it to be healthy, but sadly, quite a lot of it isn't. And in fact, some of the ones I've been looking at are like 30% sugar. But not only that, in one of Britain's biggest health food shops, one of their own brand is 40% sugar.
That is appalling,
isn't
it?
How could you have that?
It's like I'm a real sad act because I'm a yo-yo dieter and I know the calorific content of everything. I just have a database in my head. And I tell you, there's a leading brand of cereal. Okay.
You're not going to mention names though, are you?
They're special. And K, all right?
All right.
Yeah. You got it? Okay. Special K, I don't mind saying, if you look, it says it on the packet.
Yeah,
Special
yeah, of course.
Special K, which is supposed to be slightly healthier, actually has more calories in it than a normal bowl of cornflakes.
Well, there you go. And that's
it's
the kind of
thing, isn't it?
It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
It is. And it makes me really angry because I kind of think this is not right, you know? And if you should have a choice, but you shouldn't be being conned into thinking that something you're having is good isn't.
Yeah.
So anyway, that made us think, well, I started making my own at home. And he liked it. Whoa. And it had less sugar in it. So it was all quite exciting. And one day he said, you know what, Mum, you should sell this. Mm. And I thought, well, maybe I should. Yeah. Maybe I should. And we'd been reading one of these books about 7-day startup and setting up a lean startup and MVPs and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, but maybe I could do a website.
Hold on a second. I've got to interrupt there because there's a lot of punning going on around here. Do you get it? Lean startup. Do you get it? Lean startup.
Yes,
yeah. Sugar-free lean startup.
There we go. Hey, there we go. So, yes, yeah, so I learned to do websites. That was quite exciting.
Right.
And built up www.truegranola.com. But I set it up initially as a to do direct selling of True Granola. So I make it for people.
Online, yeah.
I'll be making some this afternoon and I send it to people straight away so that it's really, really fresh. And that was kind of what our initial business idea was. But then we kind of thought,
how scalable is this? You know, how much can I be making in my kitchen at home? Yep. We need a product that people can buy. I want to make this bigger. You know, I want to do more with this. So we thought, how could we make it easy for people to make granola at home? Because, you know, going and buying all those ingredients is a true faff.
Yeah.
So we thought, why don't we make a kit that contains all the ingredients. That was our initial thought, a kit that contains all the ingredients to make granola.
Yeah.
Then when we talked to people and showed them it, we had all these vegans saying, can't put honey in it. Oh, no, you can't have honey. Oh, no.
Yeah.
And then you have you're putting sunflower oil in? Is that a special sunflower oil?
Yeah.
Oh, I prefer coconut oil. Mm. Oh, no, I wouldn't put... And you think, oh, okay. So everybody was happy with most of the ingredients, but the sweetener and the oil were very controversial.
Okay.
So we thought, why don't we not put those in and actually just put a little measuring pot in and kind of put some recommendations on the pack and on our website so people can make their own choices about how much and what of those two ingredients.
Brilliant, because that way it appeals to everybody, doesn't it?
Appeals to everybody.
Anyone, does it?
And then we thought, well, while we're at it, we'll make it gluten-free. So we use gluten-free jumbo oats so that it can make it as accessible to as many people as possible. And that's what we've done.
Brilliant.
So and we're just about to launch.
Fantastic. I mean, and that we've had this discussion on a couple of dimensions here in the things that you said, Helena. Two areas that jumped out at me while you were talking there. This whole concept now that increasingly we can make food that suits everybody.
That's right.
Yeah. Because we used to be, you know, when these things first became prevalent or people started getting all vegetarian. People started getting all vegetarian and vegan
getting
and all
vegetarian
that.
On me.
When they caught vegetarianism and it was uncurable, that kind of thing.
You can't say that.
Can I not?
No.
Okay. But the problem is, it's families, isn't it? And if one of you's a vegetarian and one's a vegan and one's normal.
Oh, he is being controversial.
And you go to a restaurant. You know, you're very limited by what you can do. One of the things I like now is more and more food producers, such as yourself, are making food that can be eaten by anybody. You choose to eat it because it's nice food, end of. And it actually suits you, and it suits me, and that's fine.
And there's something else that's really important to us, and that's about creating a kind of slow food experience, know, so that one of the great things about making your own food easily is you get that experience of the smells wafting around your kitchen, but also that kind of feeling of I did this
achievement.
I'm making food for my family. That makes you, or making food for myself, it makes you feel good about yourself. So that's kind of where we've come from.
So do you have one with you?
She's desperate to get her chops around it.
Fish and all the talk about food. Oh, and she's even bought her own little bowls. How nice!
Lovely.
Do you eat granola a lot, Paul?
No.
No. Why not?
I don't.
Yourself. Are your teeth all right?
I haven't got any. I borrowed them. No, I don't eat granola. Not for any particular reason, other than I don't eat breakfast.
What? There was a fact actually that I read. I think it's probably from your website. Is it something like 1.2? What's the figure?
It's 2.6 billion occasions are missed every year. And that is a fact. And that's kind of, I think it's reality, especially during the week. People don't want to eat breakfast. They're too busy. And we're really targeting the weekend occasion where people will have a bit more time and want something a little bit more special.
Yeah.
And they can, rather than bacon and eggs, which... You know, there is a time and place for bacon and eggs. I have been known very often to have a bit of bacon, but, you know, sometimes a healthier alternative would be appropriate.
I love breakfast and I avoid it because I go mad. But I was at a weekend, my youngest son graduated at the weekend and I went to the graduation in Bristol and I stayed for the weekend.
Nice.
And of course, on the Sunday morning, I'm staying in a hotel. And what do? You go to the hotel breakfast bar. I mean,
nobody
ever has pineapple, yogurt, croissant, toast, fried egg, bacon, black pudding for breakfast normally.
No.
But you do if you're in a hotel because you paid for it and it's there.
I have pastries, fruit, the lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I've just had a bite of it and it's lovely.
Thank you.
So the fruit, what's the fruit that you've got in there?
So the fruit that's in there right now is golden raisins, and they're beautiful. They look, they're so yellow and little bits of red in it. big flame raisins, and there's some sweetened cranberries in there, sweetened with apple juice. So
that is edible.
Good. Oh, I'm glad you like it. The things that are important to us is that you can tell what the ingredients are.
Yeah.
Because other granolas as well, they're kind of, some of them can be really crumbly, or some of them can be in little clumps, and they're like rotten, you know, when you crunch, you break your teeth. So we're trying to make it a bit less crunchy.
Mm. That's right.
Attractive.
I got it stuck in my plate.
I wish that they could see.
You're absolutely right. You know, when you see packet granolas, it's never, you get those clumpy clusters.
Yeah, the cheap ones definitely. Yeah.
And I just never like the look of it. I just thought, I really don't want to eat that.
Well, it is an interesting fact, because granola has been around since 1936 in America. It's been over here probably for the past 10, 15 years, but still only 20% of UK people eat granola. Mm. Interesting fact that 30% of people who earn over £50,000 eat granola. Ooh. So it is a kind of...
A bit posh.
A bit posh.
What I like about this is the colours in it.
That's right. It looks appetizing, doesn't it?
I really like it.
And you can have it with different stuff. You know, one of the ways we often have it is with a smoothie bowl, which are a bit cool at the moment. Mm. So you make a smoothie rather than drinking it, which my children will not drink a smoothie. It's just too much for them. Mm. Make it in the Nutribullet, put it in a bowl, put the granola on top. It looks very pretty.
I really enjoyed that. What you said is absolutely true. You can actually see what's in the bowl. Mm. You can see the... I know this sounds silly, but you can see the ingredients. You can see all of them. And it just had that... When you're eating it, you could taste the different flavours in it.
That's right,
it
and that's what we're aiming at.
It just wasn't a congealed clump of stuff.
I really liked it. Paul, I know that you haven't got a sweet tooth. That's not really, it's really not sweet, sweet, but it's sweet enough for me. Like which I have got a sweet tooth, and that's sweet enough for me. I wouldn't want to put anything extra.
You don't want to put lots of extra stuff on it, you know?
But so. I'm a Cocoa Pops girl. If I have cereal,
that's for sugar pudding. Puff. In our house, that's for pudding and Cocoa Pops.
Tell them about the money, honey. She's a honey monster.
No, I can't eat those, but Cocoa Pops is the only cereal that I really would ever eat. So don't eat cereal. You'll be pleased to know.
So you don't have to have it for breakfast, though. My husband, he has it with a coffee in the afternoon.
What, right. Cocoa Pops? Like a little,
no, Cocoa Pops.
Oh, that.
Cocoa Pops. He probably would.
Little do you know, he's at home now. Bowl of Cocoa Pops. Cocoa Pops.
I always, when I eat cereal, it is always after 9 o'clock at night.
Okay. It's a good time to eat it.
I always have cereal in my cupboard. I never eat it for breakfast, ever. I eat it late at night.
What do you eat for breakfast, Paul?
I don't normally have breakfast.
Oh, you said, didn't you?
This morning I had a bacon sandwich because I was in that kind of mood.
Bit of toast?
I eat a lot of toast.
Nothing wrong with toast.
This man loves his toast.
I love toast. I just eat toast all day long. I come here and I eat all their bread.
What do you have for breakfast, Natalie?
Usually I skip breakfast as well quite a lot. Mm. Or it might be the odd piece of fruit. But I'm not hungry.
I bring an apple and a banana in. I don't have it in the morning because I'm busy getting kids ready and rushing about and all of that. So I come in and I crunch on my apple. People love it. And eat my banana, and that's my breakfast every morning. But I would definitely
While you're rabbiting away, is there any more of that?
Yes, Paul. Okay. Of course. I'll just serve it for you.
Thank you. If you would.
But yeah, and that's, I think the reality is during the week, people are really busy. With these kits, what we kind of think is people will make them on a Sunday and it'll last you all week.
Right.
So, yeah.
So,
keep you going.
So, yeah. I want to explore, if I may, Helena, the business side of what you're doing
here. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you made a very relevant point earlier on that said you decided to start making this because of your son.
Yep.
You then went, whoa. We're a business, you know, yep. We've got something that we can sell here because it's a good product, absolutely. And then you made a very telling reference, and it's something that we interviewed lots of artists and producers here and local producers, and they all have the same issue. You start with a quality product made on your kitchen table.
Yep.
And how do you scale up to go into a full business whilst maintaining the quality and all the costs that go with scaling up food production?
Yeah. It is a real question you've got to ask yourself is how big do you want to be and how are you going to get there? And it's something we really pondered with, because I knew I could make quite a lot at home, but then my whole life is making granola, and you know what, after a few weeks I was getting kind of bored of making granola. I'm really good at marketing, I'm really good at business, I love meeting customers. I don't want to bake for my life. So that was when we kind of thought, how do we make a new product, a different product? And that's where the kits came up. Mm. We also one of our things is we don't want to be a company which is driven by profit. We also want to be a company which does some good. So we want to grow so that we can do more good. Mm. So for example, just tiny things we do now. Obviously, we're small, so we can't give a lot back. But we help sponsor Folkestone Soup, which is a community mechanism for sponsoring new little people's ideas. So things like there was an organic market set up in Folkestone, mm-hmm. that came from Folkestone Soup. There's a guy who's cycling around making magazines with children. That came from Folkestone Soup.
Lovely.
And we help buy the soup for that. So, you know, we can do little tiny community initiatives this Christmas. Well, next week, there's a top secret thing happening that I can't tell you about.
Oh, not even a little hint.
Well, we're doing, you know, crowdfunding.
Yeah.
We're doing a crowdfunding initiative, a new crowdfunding initiative in a new, very special way. So,
obviously you can't say anything about it now.
I can't say anything about it now.
How can we find out about it when you can say something?
It'll be all over our Facebook page, True Granola Facebook page, True Granola Twitter, True Granola website. And basically, through this crowdfunding, we're hoping we're going to get people to become part of what we call Team True. Yeah. And they can help us grow as a business. But more importantly, you know, when you do crowdfunding, you know, you give rewards.
Yep.
And people pay £5, £10, £15, £100,000 to be part of your business for their rewards. Yeah. Well, every one of our rewards from £15 up involves, you get, you know, a T-shirt or whatever, lots of product, but you also get to give a homeless person a breakfast this Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And that's the kind of thing that we want to keep on doing. So to get big, you've got to think about how am I going to, and to do more of that stuff, yep. You've got to think, how can you do it? So the scalable question is something that's really important, and you've got to really think about it. We have the benefit that we've, you know, when you start a business, you just got to go for every opportunity that comes your way. And that's been really important for us, is we see something, you think, should I do that? Well, why the hell not? Why not do it? So I was on a training course, a PR training course that I'd gone up to in London just to learn how startups do PR. And I met some people who were part of this accelerator program called Grocery Accelerator. Mm-hmm. And they were telling me about it. And I thought, well, that sounds quite interesting. Maybe I should apply for that. And at that time, we were only doing the direct business. And I was thinking, oh, Mum, that's not really my business. But you know what? I'll just have a go. And then during the process of going through the Grocery Accelerator program, so there's 307 people applied to be part of it. They're looking for 6. We refined our idea as we were going through the hurdles. So you do presentations, you do pitches, you write all this documentation. And we thought, let's change it. Let's put our focus away from the direct business onto this grocery pack that is very scalable, that will be something that can go into the grocers. And then lo and behold, we've become one of the 6 people that are on the program. So that's kind of, you know, how business goes.
It is incredibly important as an entrepreneur that you don't have goals. I'm going to tell you that again.
You don't
have goals. I'm an anti-goal person. And the reason is quite simply this. When you're developing a business, if you've got too rigid a goal, you miss so many opportunities to go off in a slightly different direction. And I'm here to tell you that almost every business that succeeded didn't start out with the same idea. Yeah. Even Branson, my old mate Branson, he's got this saying that he says, if somebody asks you if you can do something, the answer is yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And then you figure out how to do it.
Absolutely.
And that is the essence of entrepreneurialism. And what you've just described is perfect. That is the perfect way to develop a product.
And so many times during this journey, we've just thought, oh, how do you do this? Mm. But Google's great. You can learn all kinds of stuff. People are out there who you can talk to who really want to help you.
They do want to help.
They do want to help. So it's, it's really exciting.
Fantastic.
It certainly sounds
it. You've got an absolutely gorgeous project.
Thank
I've just eaten
much.
2 bowls of it.
I know. We can hear you munching away.
I know. It's lovely.
I know. It's really lovely, wasn't
it? It's really gorgeous. You've got a fabulous product, and you've now taken that and scaled it up by making the kits.
Yeah, and we've got some sales. So we've got some channels. So we'll be in Ocado at the start of the year. So that's a great start. Mm. We've been in conversations with some of the other big retailers. It's a real challenge because it's quite expensive working and going through the retailers.
Yeah,
so you've got to be able to know that you can afford to be in all of these different places.
Yes.
But certainly, beginning of next year, we'll be at a store near you.
Fantastic. Yeah, definitely.
Helena, give us your website so people can find out more about your lovely products.
Absolutely. It's www.truegranola, which is truegranola.com. And we really would love people to join our Facebook page and our Twitter feed, because that's and Instagram, because that's where you'll find out what's going on.
I'm following you.
Oh, very good, very good.
Follow me back and I'll spam you.
I'm on it all the time.
Helena, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. And we look forward to more True Granola.
Oh, I'll be here. Don't you worry.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're nearly at the end of the show, Christy. So
that has gone so quick.
Yeah, it's been a really quick, fascinating, interesting hour talking to some lovely guests about their different products and services. So what we got coming up in the next few weeks? What are you lot up to?
Oh, my goodness. I am so busy at the moment. Mm-hmm. Shall I tell you why?
Yeah, go on. Oh, all right.
I'm building it up for.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, yeah. I'm not playing ball, am I? Yeah, go on then, Chrissy,
so
if you really must.
Bit, yeah. We're doing a fabulous show. We're taking the food show again out on the road, but we're doing something a little bit different. It's called the Food Talk Show Live Unboxed.
Okay.
So it'll be at Mercato Metropolitano. Which is in.
That's easy for you to say.
Saying, I've said it enough times over the last few weeks. And that's just near Borough Market in London. Mm. Fabulous space with Italian supermarket and lots of street food vendors. Mm. Absolutely huge and gorgeous food. You can't be on a diet when you go there. And what we have is we have two shows. So we have one in the afternoon and one in the evening. And on those shows will be some celebrity panelists. So celebs of the foodie world. Ooh. And what they'll be doing is opening up new food technology. So the latest kitchen innovations, restaurant innovations, and they'll be opening up live on stage.
Have they got new spiralizers?
They might do. I can't tell you what is going to be in the boxes.
I want a new spiralizer. No, I want one that does legs of lamb or
We've
something.
We've got some absolutely brilliant products for them to unbox. And then the audience get involved. So they've got paddles. Do you ever watch that show, Ready, Steady, Cook?
Yep.
With the red pepper, green pepper?
Yep.
So we've got That Rocks or Back in the Box, and the audience get involved.
See what I
did there? You get some food from the stall holders in there, lovely Italian food, and tickets are only £20 and they're going pretty darn fast. So
I should imagine
get hold
they
of
are.
Them.
Fantastic. And when's that taking place?
That's on Thursday the 20th.
Next Thursday.
So it's all stations go. There's lots of stuff on our Facebook page, which we've only just started going on. So please like our Facebook page as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like fantastic fun. We're looking forward to that.
Oh, it will be. It'll be a brilliant event.
Loads of stuff going on around the food industries, food technology, food. More food. food.
Yeah, food. Yeah. No, really looking forward to it.
Fantastic. So have good fun with that. It just leads us to say we're almost at the end of the show. A massive, massive thank you to all of our guests.
Yes.
Juliette Kellow from UK Seafood down there in St. Orsell in Cornwall. Mm-hmm. The lovely Natalie Chrisman Cooper from Treat Out, the app provider. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Helena Rogers from True Granola.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all so much for joining us on the Food Talk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure
Thanks
to hear from you.
Yeah, it's been great.
And to find out all about what you do. And we wish you both much success with your new products and services. I'm sure they're going to be fantastic. We're kind of at the end of the show now, Christy, for another week.
Last one that I'm going to do for a while as well.
Yeah, it'll be me and Brady next
week.
You
and Brady next week.
We've been left in the office.
I know, you're not allowed out.
While this lot go and have fun at Borough Market. She's sitting there going, there's street food and everything, Paul.
Oh,
and I'm going,
Jabata.
Yeah, but I'm not coming. I'm sat in the studio.
Oh, Parma ham.
She's doing it deliberately
mozzarella.
Now. She's doing it deliberately now.
Big, huge pizza oven. Yeah. Oh, my mouth is watering. I'm really hungry now.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's typical, isn't it? Yeah. She's really just wafting it in my face. Well, Brady and I will be here stuck in this very cold studio. Whilst you lot have fun at Borough Market.
I'll tweet you.
Well, oh, thank you.
That's all right. Really cool. No problems.
Yeah. And just while we're saying that, don't forget to look at the website. There's loads of recipes on the Food Talk website.
Foodtalkshow.co.uk.
As the lady said, foodtalkshow.co.uk.
Twitter, @foodtalkshow.
Absolutely. And
the new
Facebook page.
Food Talk Show.
Cool. And you can follow me on the Twitter at VanillaWeb.
Oh, yeah. We all know what you are.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with the Food Talk Show next week. Have a fabulous week.